Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coming back near wall. The tie up and a hash mark. Prona's weak side. Ovechkin! He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores from the left dot! This game is tied! And Ovechkin picks one up here in Winnipeg. It's goal 8-8-9. He needs 5 to tie. He needs 6 to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. An electrifying moment here in downtown Winnipeg. Ovechkin draws one closer.
We got some really good play-by-play hockey guys in town. Outstanding call from John Walton on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, the home for Washington Capitals hockey. 4 minutes left in the game. Ovechkin gets 8-8-9. The Caps would go on to lose in overtime to Winnipeg, but they pick up a point, and they stay, by the way, 1 point ahead of Winnipeg for the President's Trophy, with now, believe it or not, just 11 games left in the season for Washington. Yeah, 3-2, they lost to Winnipeg, but Ovechkin now, man, we're on pace for what we had talked about after his last goal for one of those two Columbus games coming up on Saturday and Sunday, April 12th and 13th. That is still the target right now based on his goals per game average. He'll either do it at Columbus on Saturday, April 12th, based on his current goals per game average, or at home against Columbus on Sunday, April 13th. Look that up. I didn't look that up. I should have done that before the show, Denton. See what the price is. On, you know, to see if StubHub's, you know, got tickets for that Sunday, April 13th game against Columbus and what the prices are. I would imagine they are through the roof because that right now also is the only home game in the Caps' final four games of the season. Their final four games are at Columbus, Columbus at home, at the Islanders, at Pittsburgh. You know, so he could break it before then. They've got a game against Carolina, but actually four of their final six games are on the road, and three of their final four are on the road.
The prices for that game, Sunday, April 13th, you can get in the door for $213.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad. I think as you get closer, those numbers are going to ramp up a little bit.
What would a really good, you know, lower bowl seat cost?
If we're looking lower bowl, you're probably upwards of, I'm seeing $330.
That's not bad at all,
it's
right?
It's not bad. Not terrible. Not great, yeah. But not terrible.
I don't think it's probably been a while since I've looked at, you know, aftermarket ticket prices for hockey games. But I know if that's a, you know, you have 20,000 people that you can get into that arena for hockey. What's the sellout number? Actually, it's 18 something,
right? I
think
it's 18,000. Now I'm looking at if you wanted like lower level row A 112, then you're paying a very hefty price. But just to get into the 100 section, you're paying $400.
All right. Well, that's the target right now. Exciting goal came with the Caps down 2-1, and it tied it up. And ultimately, they just lost in overtime to Winnipeg. But still, the Caps right now playing great. They go to Minnesota tomorrow night and then are home against Buffalo. When I think now is the moment, although I don't know if it was five from tying or five from breaking, but the number was, you know, five goals away from either tying or breaking, in which Gretzky and the commissioner would then start to head to every single game and be at every single game. I mean, if you're five goals short of breaking the record, it seems a little aggressive to be there at that point. I don't know if he's going to get five in a game, but I would think that, you know, a reasonable number would be three. Like, once you're within three away from tying or breaking, whichever, you know, the goal is to be there for the game tying or the game breaking, both of them, I would assume, it would seem three goals within those numbers would be the right number. But Ted told us last month they are going to start traveling with the team or traveling to the team's games once he gets to within five. So there you go. What a season he's having. I mean, unbelievable season for Alex Ovechkin. 36 goals now in 55 games. Bottom line is, if he hadn't gotten injured, it'd be over at this point, right? How many games did he miss? Didn't he miss 15 games?
He missed a bunch. And right now, he's fourth in the NHL in goals.
It's crazy.
And he's missed a bunch of games and nearly 40 years old.
Yeah. I mean, so this, we would have already had the moment had he not gotten hurt. You know, we talked about this last week. I'm telling you, somebody did, you know, text me who's in the know that says the Monumental sales people, anyway, they're hoping he doesn't break it this year and they can have a whole off season to generate a lot of activity and close a lot of deals between now and the beginning of next season if he goes into next season having not broken the record. All right. Wanted to read this from, we've got two guests on the show, by the way. Naki's going to join us at 11 from San Francisco. Terps tomorrow night against Florida. We'll talk a little bit more about Kevin Willard. That situation is hanging out there right now. It's a little bit uncomfortable given that they've got a Sweet 16 matchup tomorrow night. I'll give you, you know, before the hour is up, I'll kind of tell you what I think is going on right now as it relates to that. Chris Naki at 11. Chris Spatola from ESPN covers college hoops will join us at noon. This from Frank L. to open up the show. Frank L. writes, Kevin, looks like your prediction that Brian Robinson Jr. will get traded has gained traction. Read this. And then he linked me to a Pro Football Focus guy saying that Robinson Jr. should be traded. I did mention this to you, I think yesterday, Denton, not on the air, maybe it was before the show, because somebody else had sent me something about, you should read this about Brian Robinson Jr., but I ended up reading it after the show yesterday. This guy, Bradley Locker, from Pro Football Focus, said that he believes Robinson's play has declined, and therefore the Commanders should be open to trying to get back some of the picks that they've already traded for other players by trading Brian Robinson Jr. Here's the actual quote. Quote, the Commanders offseason has centered on upgrading the pieces around Jaden Daniels. In that sense, it might seem paradoxical to trade Robinson, but there would be good reasons to do so. His PFF rushing grade has declined in all three seasons, and his 34 missed tackles forced in 2024 tied for 27th out of 31 qualified rushers. With Robinson only under contract for one more year, and this draft class being rich at the position, trading him in favor of a rookie would be plausible, close quote. So a couple of things here. First of all, I didn't predict that Brian Robinson Jr. would be traded. That's not what I've talked about when we've had these conversations. What I've said is that I think because the draft is rich in running backs, where, you know, day three, they could get somebody that they maybe really like. And because they traded for Deebo Samuel and they will have the option of lining Deebo Samuel up in the backfield, it wouldn't surprise me if Brian Robinson Jr., who, you know, was underwhelming at times last year, and remember, a lot of it was because he wasn't available. You know, you go back to the Baltimore Ravens game. Let's not forget that a lot of people thought the reason that they didn't beat Baltimore, and it was a very competitive game, Jaden was phenomenal in the game, was because Brian Robinson Jr. was out. You know, but I just suggested that given that, you know, first of all, it's an over $3 million in cap savings. It's not massive, but that there could be some crowding at the position. I also mentioned that, you know, they tendered Chris Rodriguez, and they, with Deebo and Eckler and Rodriguez, and, you know, the opportunity to add a back that maybe they really like as a rookie on day three, might be night two for all we know, that I just kind of connected the dots in the last, you know, month in, since the Deebo trade in particular, and said it wouldn't shock me. Now, I think others have pushed back on it. I think Sam did, and Ben did, maybe. I forget who else. Maybe Ben didn't. It doesn't matter to me. But I didn't say that I'm predicting he'll be traded. I just said I think that there's a chance he's not on the opening day roster. Let me just mention, too, I don't think there's a trade market for Brian Robinson Jr., all due respect to the player. Like, what are they going to get back for Brian Robinson Jr.? I mean, a conditional seventh? I don't think with a back-heavy draft that there's much of a market for Brian Robinson Jr. I could be wrong. You know, these are the conversations we never get right as fans. You know, trade compensation and what somebody can get for somebody and what somebody's worth. But, you know, given the number of backs and given how running back heavy this draft appears to be, I can't imagine that somebody's going to give up a pick for Brian Robinson Jr. So it surprises me that somebody from PFF would suggest that there's a chance to get picks. He actually said picks back for Brian Robinson Jr. Am I off on that one? I could be. Denton, who's going to trade a pick for Brian Robinson Jr.?
No one. I mean, like, honestly, no one's trading for a running back in the year of our Lord 2025, especially when a draft is coming up. If you really want a running back, you're going to draft a running back.
Yeah. And Brian Robinson Jr., all due respect, he's not a guy that even if the draft wasn't heavy in running backs, that you're going to give up anything meaningful for. Like, that's a conditional late at best pick. You know, this did kind of, you know, remind me too. And this is another thing, you know, we do, and I've done the same thing. Trust me, I've been dead wrong on these things in the past as well. By the way, I like the player. I've always liked Brian Robinson Jr., but he's got to be available. But I don't, you know, it's not that they can't do better. That's the issue here. You can do better more likely than not in this draft. I believe you can, like with a Damian Martinez from Miami on day three. I think you could do better in this draft. And by the way, a lot cheaper. And have in your program for the next, four seasons on a rookie deal. But this, you know, Brian Robinson Jr. made me think just back to that trade that our fan base went absolutely nuts over. When they traded back with New Orleans, so New Orleans could take Chris Olave, and by the way, meaning that Washington couldn't select Kyle Hamilton. And they ended up getting Jahan Dotson, and with the picks that they turned into more picks, Sam Howell, Brian Robinson Jr., and Cole Turner, right, I think was the other player. And I just remember taking calls from people that just said, you know, what they're saying about Adam Peters. I mean, they're cooking. This is how you do it. Great job, Ron. Great job, Martin. Great job, Marty's. And I'm like, how do we know at this point? Like, I liked Jahan Dotson, so I was dead wrong. I liked Jahan Dotson. I liked Olave more in that draft. And going into that draft, the guy that I really wanted was Kyle Hamilton. I thought they should, you know, stand pat and pick Kyle Hamilton in that draft, which they could have done at 11. Hamilton went three picks later to Baltimore. I do know this from that group, and I think, you know, I've talked about it before. I'm 100% sure, 99% sure, that if Drake London had dropped to 11, that they would not have traded back. They would have selected Drake London. That was the number one receiver, and that was the one that they were hoping would fall. That was their guy. It wasn't Olave. It wasn't even Wilson. It wasn't Jameson Williams. It was Drake London. They also really liked the lineman that Seattle picked.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hold on. What was the lineman that Seattle picked in that draft in the top 10? Charles Cross. They also liked Cross and a couple of the other linemen. So I think if one of the big time tackles had dropped, they would have stood at 11 and taken, you know, London or one of the tackles. But they didn't. And they apparently didn't love Kyle Hamilton. And they didn't love Olave. They didn't love Jameson Williams, so they traded back. And I'm telling you, man, let's not forget that one. Our fan base went nuts over that trade. A lot of you did. Not everybody. You just don't know until 3 years down the road. The Jaden Daniels quick answer is the exception to the rule. It usually takes a full 3 years before you can evaluate a trade. New Orleans clearly got the better of the deal in hindsight. Olave's a really good player. And Washington got a player that's already gone in Jahan Dotson, a quarterback who honestly could not be a starter, and a running back that's been okay, and a tight end who really hasn't played at all. And they got, you know, a potential. I wouldn't call Chris Olave an elite receiver because he's had some issues with availability as well. But clearly, going back to that draft in hindsight, you take Kyle Hamilton at 11. I mean, I guess if they had Olave, you know, rated as high as they had London, you wouldn't have minded that, although you didn't have, you know, a quarterback to throw him the ball. And New Orleans is probably, until Washington drafted Jaden Daniels, New Orleans has had a better quarterback in Derek Carr than Washington's had, you know, had with Jahan Dotson. But yeah, you go back and you put Ron and the Martys back on the clock there, you're not trading back. Because we're now 3 years in, you know, hindsight mode. And it's very obvious that they weren't cooking. That they didn't, you know, they weren't playing chess with the Saints who were playing checkers. You got to be really careful. And that goes to this year's draft. You know, already, you know, there's been, I think, for a lot of fans, and I would suggest that it's a lot of older fans in particular, who, you know, remember Bobby and Charlie, you know, Bobby in particular, using the draft and trading back and getting multiple picks and truly cooking because he was a real unbelievable evaluator of talent, you know, and what Charlie did with the Saints in the Champ Bailey deal, right? One of, you know, an all-time, you know, fleecing for sure. Not the Champ Bailey deal, excuse me. The Champ Bailey deal was with Denver. The Ricky Williams deal, when New Orleans wanted Ricky Williams and what Washington got back for that. You know, an all-time, you know, couple of years later, fleecing in a trade. But you got to be careful when you, you know, as a team, when you have fewer picks. Washington's got five now, six now, is it? Whatever it is. And you start, you know, absolutely thinking, well, we got to trade back. Now, at 29, it's different than where Washington's typically been. You know, in that draft, they were at 11. You know, I think about the 2010 draft where they selected Ryan, you know, traded back and got Ryan Kerrigan, but passed on J.J. Watt. You know, those are the things you got to be careful about. You can't pass on greatness, a guy that you've got rated super high on your board because you want to accumulate more picks and hopefully do more damage. There is definitely, I think, a reasonable position to say when it comes to the draft, the best thing you can do is have more picks so you can take more swings because nobody really knows anything and hitting on 35%, 37%, whatever the number is, it's somewhere in that 35 to 39% range where basically teams would say 3 years later, if we look at a draft and 37% of the players we picked are contributors, then it was a successful draft. You know, when we're talking in the area of one out of three, it is a total crapshoot, you know, on the draft. So 37% of 10 picks is gives you 3.7 contributors, whereas, you know, 37% of five picks gives you half the number of contributors. So there is obviously some benefit in having many more picks, which, by the way, is sort of admitting up front, you understand that as much as you think you're a great evaluator and you've got great insight, it just, it's still a one out of three business, you know, and the really, really good teams, the outstanding teams may hit it slightly higher than that. You know, a two out of five, you know, at a 40% rate. But if you've got a player that is a clear-cut first-round pick that you think is way higher than anybody on your board that you're going to take in the second round with your 2 second-round picks, etc., you take the player. 2022 proves that. 2010 proves that. And there are plenty of other examples of trading back worked. But the Brian Robinson Jr. PFF thing just reminded me of that moment in time. And, you know, the same things that are being said about, you know, God, just let him cook. Adam Peters, that seems to be everybody's favorite thing. Let him cook. He's cooking so far. I will definitely agree on that. It certainly looks like he is cooking. But the easiest, best-tasting meal so far was the first pick of his tenure here in Washington, which he got right. Because none of the others would have mattered had he gotten that one wrong. Like, if we knew at this point, uh-oh, they got the wrong guy. Should have picked Drake May. Should have picked Penix, should have picked Bo Nix, or whatever, whomever it would have been. I don't know, Brian Robinson Jr. I mean, I would certainly not object to Washington, you know, moving on from him if they got, you know, if somebody was willing to give them a pick. But if nobody's willing to give them a pick, you keep Brian Robinson around at the very least to compete for a spot on the team when we get to training camp. There's no reason to move on from him now. You wouldn't do that. Certainly, it would be beneficial to him if they thought he wasn't going to make the team to move on from him now. But that's not beneficial to the team. If you're not going to get something back in this draft, you're not moving on from him. I guess somebody might really love Brian Robinson Jr., and there is a lot to like about Brian Robinson Jr. Don't get me wrong. I've been a fan. I was a fan, you know, certainly after, I think there just wasn't enough availability last year. But Brian Robinson Jr. has had moments in which I think all of us on Sundays and then on Monday mornings talking about it have said, yeah, he's good. He's not elite. He's not Barkley. He's not McCaffrey. He's not, you know, he's not Bijan Robinson, but he's a good back. You know, early in the season last year, I think it was after the Giant game or maybe it was the Arizona game. The Arizona game, he had a good game. Everybody had a good game. I think that was the game in which they brought in somebody else had a big game at running. McNichols had a big game at running back in that game. I mean, after the game was decided. But it was like, man, you know, Washington's backfield with Brian Robinson Jr. and Eckler. I mean, even McNichols. Now, and of course, with Jaden as a runner, I was certainly crediting Jaden being a run threat for a lot of it. But as the season went on, man, I don't think they got anywhere near the production out of their backs that they should have. And one of the things that we've all talked about since the season ended is, why? Was it the offensive line? Was it the back or backs? Was it Jaden who in their zone read game wasn't consistent enough as a decision maker that the running backs could have benefited? I remember talking specifically about a couple of games like even the Tampa playoff game where there were some decisions that I think they would have feasted on had Jaden kept it instead of giving it or given it instead of, you know, keeping it, because that game was a rough game, if you recall, for their rushing attack, the playoff game at Tampa. And I felt like there were some decisions, and we had Taylor Kelly on, you know, Jaden's quarterback guru coach from out in California, who actually said that there were some plays in that game where Jaden probably was fooled and made the wrong decision. But he also said, it's, you know, that's a thing that at every level of football, you know, defenses really, some do a really good job of showing a look where the D end or the outside linebacker is crashing, but he really isn't. And you got to be, you know, you're not always, you don't bat 100% in the decision-making game in as a zone read quarterback. But I still don't know the reason as to why the running back production really tailed off. I don't know that anybody knows the answer. Obviously, they made a massive trade in the offseason to bring in Laremy Tunsil, but I think that's as much about pass pro as it is about run blocking. So we'll see. But I don't know. Brian Robinson Jr., like, should we take calls on this? You want to do that? I wasn't thinking about doing it, but I'm curious as to what people think.
I think we should, because you're going to get a mixed bag of reaction, I think, to this one.
So let's get 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. First part is, do you think he'll be on the roster when we get to opening day? Second part is, would you have a problem if he wasn't? 301-230-0980, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.